Good afternoon. You want to be turning in your Bibles to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We're going to be looking at that chapter as we begin here this afternoon. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We have a familiar instruction here in chapter 5 and verse 19 that I want to hone in on as we focus our attention on this concept, this theme here this afternoon. The instruction is given to be speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. This is a verse that we understand teaches us a significant part of God's will for Christians when it comes to our worship of Him. And I want to dig into some things connected to this theme here this afternoon. We'll look at some things as we begin this lesson, that for most brethren there's an agreement on, there's not a lot of issues with it, but we certainly want to be grounded in these truths and understand the things that we're going to be looking at. But then as we get into the second part of the lesson, we're going to be looking at some things and concentrating on some points that might step on our toes more, might be, I know for me and probably for a lot of Christians, might be more difficult to apply than the first things we're going to be looking at. But all that the Scriptures teach connected to this is important for us to heed as we think about fulfilling this instruction. But as we first think about this, we just want to notice that singing and making melody with your heart specifies a particular type of music that God wants to be worshipped through by New Testament Christians. As we talk about Bible authority, we sometimes make the point that there are two basic types of authority, and a lot of times they're given the names specific and generic. You don't have to use those terms. Whatever helps you understand or think about the principle, it doesn't really matter what the title is that you give to the terms, but the principle is there are some things that God tells us in His Word to do, but He leaves open to our judgment some of the specifics of how we carry out that particular command. For instance, God tells us that we are to assemble together as saints, but He doesn't go into all the details of, now here's exactly what you need to do as far as meeting place goes. Here's what all churches need to have as far as the meeting place is concerned. So He leaves it up to our best judgment to determine, okay, are we going to have a building that is owned by the church? Is it going to be place that is rented? Are we going to meet by a riverside like we see done, an instance in Scripture? There's different things that are judgment calls because God tells us to assemble but doesn't tell us the specifics about where that is to take place. But there's other things where God tells us what to do and He specifies how to carry that out, or something related to that command He is specific about. Now here's exactly how to do this. And when He specifies something, that eliminates any other way of carrying out that command. For example, when we think about the Lord's Supper, we know that there are two emblems of the Lord's Supper. The bread, which represents Jesus' body, the fruit of the vine represents His blood. God doesn't tell us in His Word, here's a big list of all of the different foods and drinks that you cannot use as a part of the Lord's Supper. There's no list like that in God's Word. But we know because God specifies it is the bread and it is the fruit of the vine. We know that that must be the two emblems, and anything else would be outside of what God has authorized. And that's a helpful principle to bear in mind as we think about singing, because of course the point that is often made by our religious friends and neighbors and family members who are not part of the Lord's church, oftentimes the point is made, well, where does God tell us we can't? And it is sometimes difficult to be able to reason with someone that's approaching it from that perspective. But if we can understand this principle, if we ask somebody to paint our kitchen white, we don't have to tell them, by the way, don't paint it yellow. By the way, don't paint it green. We've told them white, that means white alone. Well, that's the same with God and the instruction He's given us. And as we think about something that we see taught in the Old Testament Scriptures, I think this really underscores this point even more, because we know that we have Old Testament Scriptures that share with us situations where God's people were worshiping him through mechanical instruments of music in the Old Testament scriptures. For instance, 2 Chronicles 29:28 says, "All the assembly worshiped, the singers sang, the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished." That clearly is referencing God being worshiped through mechanical instruments of music. And some would see that as evidence that it's fine for us to worship him that way today. To me, that actually is even stronger evidence that it's not authorized. And the reason I say that, first of all, we know that the old law is not what we're subject to today. Rather, it's the new law. But the fact that under the old law, we see that a type of worship that took place was mechanical instruments of music being played shows that that is another type of way that someone might worship through music. And the fact that God in the New Testament nowhere says, "I want you to do that as New Testament Christians," to me just underscores this point even more, that it is not authorized for New Testament Christians. It is a different type of music, and it is something that does not fit the specific type of music he's authorized, which is singing. I've put on the handouts, and I'll also put it up on the screen, the New Testament passages that reference God being worshiped through music by Christians here on earth, and I'll specify why I mentioned by Christians here on earth more in just a moment. And all of these passages we see reference singing. Ephesians 5:19 we looked at just a moment ago. We'll also look at Colossians 3:16 a number of times through this lesson. So I won't turn and read that now because we're going to come back to that. 1 Corinthians 14:15 is the passage where Paul mentions, as he's talking about in that context, some things related to these miraculous gifts that Christians had before the written word was complete. And he talks about the need to make sure that we're doing things with the proper understanding, the proper mindset. And in the context of that, he says, "I'll pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding also." And then he says, "I'll sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also." So there's another reference to singing in a context that deals with Christians and what they did when they assembled together. Much of what chapter 14 covers are things that were unique to Christians in the age of miraculous gifts, but some of the things in this chapter certainly are every bit as applicable today, and we'll come back to that passage as well a little bit later on in the lesson. There's two New Testament passages that reference God being worshiped through music, and I believe they're referencing not what takes place as the churches assemble together, what we might call congregational worship, but rather referencing what individuals do. And both of those reference singing. One of those is Acts 16:25, where Paul and Silas were in prison there at Philippi. And in Acts 16:25, it mentions that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Well, that's something that it shows great faith on their part, and there's a lot we could talk about with that, but you just notice there that it mentions them singing. They weren't assembled together as a church. Paul and Silas were a part of the church, but they weren't assembled together as a church as they did this. This was just something that individual Christians were doing in worship to God. I believe James 5:13 is also talking about something that individual Christians do in our worship to God, though some may view it as being a reference to congregational singing. But that's where in James 5:13, where the Holy Spirit through James says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." And then he says, "Is any cheerful? Let him sing praises." That individual nature of the circumstances seems to me to indicate he's talking about, again, an individual work rather than what we do collectively. But one way or another, if we look at these five passages, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 14:15, Acts 16:25, James 5:13. These five passages clearly talk about whether it is the church collectively or whether it is individual Christians. They clearly talk about God being worshiped through music, and every single one of them specifies singing. Not a one of them says anything about worshiping God through the use of mechanical instruments of music. Now, there's a few other passages to put down at the bottom of the screen that are interesting to take note of as well. Matthew 26:30 is the passage where just after Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives and they sang a hymn. And It's interesting that it mentions them singing a hymn. Now, I don't know that I would use Matthew 26:30 to prove that the way that God authorizes Christians to worship Him through music and the Christian dispensation is through singing, because at this time, the church had not quite been built yet. Jesus was soon to go to the cross, but He hadn't gone to the cross yet. The Christian dispensation had not fully been ushered in yet, but it is interesting, at least, that Matthew 26:30 is a New Testament passage that references Jesus and His disciples worshiping, and they worshiped through music, and more specifically, it was through singing. There's also a couple of Old Testament prophecies that are referenced in two New Testament passages, Romans 15:9, Hebrews 2:12. Not going to turn and read those for the sake of time, but again, both of those verses reference singing. Neither of them reference playing with mechanical instruments of God. And while they are Old Testament prophecies being quoted, they're quoted in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we never see any indication that God wants to be worshipped through mechanical instruments of music by New Testament Christians. Now, there's some passages. There's three references in the book of Revelation, and there's a little bit difference. There's some differences in the passages themselves and what's going on. But there's some passages in the book of Revelation that talk about God being worshipped through mechanical instruments of music. But number one, they occur in a vision that John had of things that were not literally happening, but things that were symbolic, things that signified certain spiritual truths God was communicating through this vision that He gave to John. And number two, those instances involve celestial beings in heaven, for instance, rather than Christians here on earth worshiping God through music. We don't have any instances in the New Testament that show God's people here on earth worshiping Him through mechanical instruments of music. Instead, what we see in these instances is worshiping God through singing specifically when we are worshiping Him in music. Now, one clarifying point that I've realized in talking to people over the last few years is a point that is important to make sometimes when talking to our religious friends and neighbors. We're talking specifically about what we do in worship to God. We're not saying that we have anything against mechanical instruments of music being used in recreational ways and things like that. We're talking about what we do in worship to God. But when it comes to how New Testament Christians worship God, singing is the specific type of music that God shows us in His Word He desires. He does not authorize worshiping Him in another way. Again, like when He told Noah, make an ark of gopher wood. He didn't tell him all the different kinds of wood not to use, but He told him gopher wood. Noah did not have the authority to make him an ark of oak or whatever kind of wood he might have so chosen. He needed to make an ark of gopher wood. If we ask someone to paint our bedroom white, that means white. It doesn't mean, well, we didn't say not to paint it gray, so you can paint it gray. And the same is true with the Word of God. When God tells us to do something, if He specifies, here's how you do that, that eliminates any other way that we might so choose to carry out that command. But all of this points to what has God shown us that He wants in worshiping Him. When it comes to our worship, and more specifically here this afternoon, when it comes to our worship through music, what has God shown us that He wants? And that's really the key question. And we want to consider the fact that's what our worship is about. Because a lot of times, the points that are made to try to justify mechanical instruments of music in worship to God, a lot of times it points back to trying to have music that is more impressive to the ears of mankind. Or even sometimes when it comes to our singing, different things that are introduced that aren't authorized by God points back to thinking about, well, what sounds better to the ears of mankind? And we want to recognize worship is not about pleasing the worshiper. Worship is about pleasing God. And asking the question, well, what does God want for us in worship, is not asking, well, if I were God, what would I be looking for? Instead, it's just looking at His Word and saying, what has He told us? Because I'm not God, you're not God, we don't know
beyond what he's told us, what it is that he's looking for, and he has told us in his word clearly what it is that pleases him. And we see clearly that he has a specific purpose for what he wants to be accomplished as we worship him through music and more specifically through singing. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 are two passages that correspond with one another. They're almost identical, but they are worded slightly different and bring out some slightly different points. But Ephesians 5:19, we read earlier, says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then it says, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Very similar and expresses the same principles, but worded a little bit different and mentions there the grace that we are to sing with in our hearts. But putting these two verses together, we can see that there's a basic twofold purpose of our singing. Number one, Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking one to another. Colossians 3:16 says, teaching and admonishing one another. It is clear from the words of these two verses that we are to teach and edify and strengthen one another as we sing. You think about a song like Yield Not to Temptation. That, to me, is a good example of a song that is very much a song of instruction. And as we sing that song, really as we sing the words ourselves, but also as we hear everyone around us singing, and we just think about the words of that song, it teaches, it admonishes, it helps us to be strengthened as we're all encouraging one another to not yield to temptation, to ask the Savior to help us, etc., as we think about the words of that song. And that's a key part of what God intends for in our worshiping him through singing. At the end of both of these verses, though, we see the words to the Lord. And that shows us clearly that this is also about, and it really first and foremost is about, honoring and praising and glorifying God. And so this is the basic twofold purpose of what this singing is about. There's all kinds of different innovations of mankind that might be introduced in thinking about how do we sound better to the ears of mankind. But that's not what our singing and worship is about. It's about what is God looking for. It's about what purposes he assigned. And he has designed worship to work in a way, if we'll follow his pattern, that will fulfill the purposes that he has for us in worship. And certainly that's true with singing. It will fulfill his purpose of him being glorified, him being honored, and us being strengthened and edified and taught as we sing these words, if we simply follow that which God tells us he wants us to do. And that ties in with another specific point I want to make on this, the types of songs that we sing in our worship. The type of songs are not to be about fun and entertainment. That might accomplish the purpose of sounding better to people who were listening, but that's not what our worship is about. Our worship is about honoring and praising God and about teaching and admonishing one another. And the songs that God wants us to be singing fall right in line with that twofold purpose. Notice in both Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, we have the wording psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I don't know if he intended to differentiate three different types of songs or if he was just giving three different ways of describing the same basic types of songs just for repetition's sake. But psalms and hymns, at least, would certainly include songs that praise and honor and glorify God. Spiritual songs would certainly include songs that teach and admonish one another. And maybe all three of them include both sides of that coin. But whatever the case is, we certainly see that through this description, these are songs that glorify and honor and praise God, and they teach and admonish one another. We have a lot of songs that very directly glorify God. Glorify thy name, how great thou art, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. There's songs like that that very directly praise and honor and glorify him. And that's the kind of songs that he wants us to be singing. And of course, there's a lot of others that less directly glorify and honor and point the praise to Him as well. And then there's a lot of songs that we sing that teach and admonish each other, and that certainly is in line with what He's looking for as well. But that's really just falls right in line with the purpose that God has assigned for songs. He didn't assign a purpose of fun and entertainment. He assigned a purpose of teaching each other and glorifying Him. And also, as we think about this purpose that He has assigned, it's a purpose that is really important for all of us. All Christians are supposed to be honoring and praising God. And all Christians need to be taught, need to be admonished. And so we can understand that God's purpose in this is for all Christians. He wants all of us, certainly as we assemble together, to be singing and worship to Him. And some Christians, I think this is a decision that each Christian has to make, but some Christians also worship individually and privately as well. But certainly as we assemble together for congregational singing, all of us need to be singing. He doesn't authorize, quote-unquote, church choirs and just having select ensembles and that sort of thing. But He wants all of us to be taught and admonished. He wants all of us to be glorifying and praising Him. If you think about the two epistles that we're looking at for the most part here this afternoon, Ephesians and Colossians, where we have this instruction given, thinking about who these epistles are addressed to. Ephesians 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, I realize as we look at epistles that are addressed to a church in general, sometimes within that epistle, there will be a section that is addressing a certain part of a certain group of individuals within that church. For instance, in the book of Ephesians, just shortly after the instruction concerning singing, down at verse 22, the Apostle Paul begins giving instruction specifically to wives, then to husbands. A little bit later on down, he gives instruction to children, to parents, fathers specifically. He gives instruction to servants and masters a little bit further on down. So within an epistle that is addressed to a church, we can sometimes have a section that is just addressing specific individuals. But there's nothing in the context of chapter 5 and verse 19 to indicate that he's singling out just a few of them. There's nothing in the context that says, okay, now I'm addressing those of you who are a part of the quote-unquote church choir, and here's what you need to heed. There's nothing like that in Ephesians 5:19 like there is later on down when he addresses wives and husbands and so forth. So I don't believe that there's anything to indicate that this is an instruction that's only for a select few. It certainly is something that all of us need to heed. The same is true with Colossians. As we think about Colossians 1:2, who the book of Colossians is addressed to, it's addressed to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. That's all of the brethren there. That's not just a select few. That's everybody. And again, there's nothing introducing the command of Colossians 3:16 to indicate, okay, now I'm just talking about a few of you who are part of the church here. Instead, he's addressing all of them, showing that all Christians have this responsibility. But as we think about this purpose, it's important for us to recognize. We, among most brethren, I think there's agreement that playing with a piano or some other mechanical instrument in worship to God is not authorized today. And I think there's agreement that having a quote-unquote church choir, something like that, is not authorized today. And we need to be grounded in those principles, so it's important to revisit them on occasion. But what might step on our toes a little bit more that we want to make sure that we take to heart every bit as much is that while, yes, we want to follow the specific do's and don'ts of what God wants when we worship Him through music, we, each of us, need to make sure that we are just as zealous to follow what God is looking for in each of our hearts as we worship Him through music. If we refrain from worshiping God in ways that's not authorized in terms of mechanical instruments and that kind of thing, but yet as we sing, we're not really making melody with the heart, we're not really meaning the words being sung, then we're really still not worshiping God as He desires. That's just as important. It's really important for us to make sure as well that we heed what He tells us about the condition of the heart, doing our best to focus on the words being sang. There in Ephesians 5:19, I really like how the ASV words this. Most of your translations will probably say, making melody in your heart. And that definitely is something we need to do. But the way the ASV words this, it says, making melody with your heart. You know, we sometimes talk about the fact that as we sing and worship to God, there is an instrument being plucked. But that instrument that's being plucked is the heart. It is a spiritual instrument, if you will. It is our heart strings, if you will, that need to be plucked as we worship God, as we make melody with the heart. That's what God's reading. That's what God's looking at. Now, we appreciate song leaders that we have that help us to do our best to sing rhythms, the right rhythms and notes and so forth, in ways that help things to be done decently and in order. And that's something that's helpful. That's something to appreciate. But really, as God listens to our singing, as God's observing what's going on, He doesn't tell us that it's displeasing to Him. If someone says, well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket and I'm always off key or whatever it may be, God doesn't tell us that that's a bad sound to Him at all. What God is looking for and what's a beautiful sound to Him is a heart that's making melody, a heart that is concentrated on these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and truly making melody with the heart. That's a beautiful sound to God. And again, all this really points back to what is God's purpose? What is He looking for? Because we know that in our society, we know that there's, of course, lots of judgments about what's good music and what's not good music. And outside of our worship to God, we can have all the opinions and preferences we want about what's God music, what's good music, rather, and not good music. But when it comes to our worship to God, God has told us, here's what I'm looking for. And what He's told us He's looking for is not what the world defines as good music, but rather what He's looking for is singing and making melody with the heart. And if we're doing that, no matter how poorly we feel like we are as a singer, that's a beautiful sound to God. And that's something to really appreciate and take to heart. Colossians 3:16, again, very similar, but it uses the phrase there, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So that grace, that gratitude, that thanksgiving demonstrates that what this really is just an outpouring of our appreciation for God, recognizing how wonderful God has been to us. And our worship in a lot of ways is just a response to that, praising and honoring and glorifying Him. And a heart that has that appreciation and that wants to pour forth praise to God and does so following all the specific do's and don'ts of what we've looked at, that is a beautiful, beautiful sound to God. And that's something to be very encouraged in. No matter what the world thinks of our singing, God is very pleased and describes it as in His Word as something that is absolutely in harmony with His will and brings Him glory when someone has that in his or her heart as we sing these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. One final reference that ties in with this back in 1 Corinthians 14:15, we have that reference to singing with the Spirit and with the understanding also. And I realize in the context of this, as he talks about how the Corinthian brethren were misusing and abusing these miraculous gifts, he seems to be emphasizing the fact that if you're going to exercise your miraculous gift in this way or that way, you need to make sure you understand what is being said. But we know that certainly we want to do our best to sing with the understanding, make melody with the heart, and we do that in part by understanding the words that we sing. Now, there might at times be a phrase here or there that comes up. We think, at least at first, I really don't know what that phrase means or what that's getting at. But we do our best to sing with the understanding, and it's helpful to dig in to phrases that we don't understand. I wish I'd done this a lot sooner, but back a few months, maybe it's been a year or two ago now, I don't know how long ago it's been, but we looked into the song Night with Eben Pinion, and it was just helpful to me to take a step back and think, what exactly is that phrase, Night with Eben Pinion brooded o'er the veil? And we dug into that a bit and talked about the imagery that we have there of Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and with the assumption that it was nightfall, that the darkness of what was going on there just adds to the sorrow that one can imagine Jesus going through as he was there in the garden. But when we have phrases like that, it's helpful to dig into them and try to find out what exactly does this mean. But sometimes we might have a phrase here or there that at least at first we don't understand. But we do our best to sing with the understanding, to sing songs that are psalms and hymns and spiritual songs like are identified in Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, and to understand what is this message getting at, and then to concentrate on those words as best as we can as we do sing them. And when we do that, that is a beautiful sound to God, making melody in or with our hearts to the Lord. So as we come back to this verse, yes, this verse and other passages that talk about worshiping God as New Testament Christians through music, these passages talk about singing, and singing is specific. God has specified the type of music he wants. He doesn't have to list out all of the types of music he doesn't want. He's told us exactly what he does want, and so we need to worship him in that way, recognizing that any other way is not authorized. But we also need to make sure that while we follow the specific do's and don'ts, if you will, to worship God in truth according to the pattern, we also worship God in spirit. We worship God from the heart, making melody with the hearts as we sing and worship to God. And I hope that this lesson has helped us to be grounded in both sides of that coin, and that each of us has a stronger zeal for making sure that we are doing the best that we can to worship God in spirit and in truth as we sing. This has been a lesson primarily intended for those of us who are Christians, but for those who are here this afternoon who are not yet Christians, we'd encourage you to think about your soul's condition. Think about where you would spend eternity if the Lord was to return today, and understand that God loves you and God wants you to be able to spend eternity with him in heaven just as much as he wants anybody else. And you have the choice that you can make. You can make this choice here today to do what is necessary to enter the body of the saved and to leave here as one in a condition where if the Lord was to return, you'd be able to spend eternity in heaven with him. And we'd love to help you with that. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're ready to give your life to him in repentance, you're ready to confess your faith in him, then you can be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins and then rise to walk in newness of life. If you're one who is a Christian with sin in your life, we'd exhort you to repent of that. Go to God in prayer. Ask for his forgiveness. You need to ask for the prayers of the congregation. We can certainly help you with that as well. So if you are here and you need to respond publicly to the gospel call, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?